I just had that picture of, you know, you and me or anyone when we're praying and we're talking to the Lord and then we hear his voice and then we start to respond to what he says to us. And I can imagine Jesus in heaven turning to his father and going, they got it. They heard my voice. And it's the voice of sacrifice. That is the whole point of Jesus being the good shepherd. I've spoiled the next half an hour for you. We're gonna come to discover that, but I've told you right at the beginning. That's the voice that we hear when we don't hear a voice of a sacrificial leader we don't follow. But when we hear a voice that is sacrificial in nature, that's the voice to follow. So if you have your Bibles with you, I just want us to have a look at a few verses before we get to 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we're going to pause for 2 minutes and just have some silence to think about the moment that Jesus actually drew his last breath. This is the time of the day where Scripture says he breathed his last. But until that point, I just want to have us look at this first illustration which Jesus spoke about being the good shepherd. And then after the silence, we'll look at a second part. So if you put some slides up for us, Dave, I just want to talk you through these first few verses. So John chapter 10, and we're looking at verses 11 to 13. This is our series we're looking at, Jesus being the I Ams. He said 7 times, I am something. And each Sunday we've looked at a different one. And this coming Sunday, in 2 days' time, we'll be looking at the last one, where it says, I'm the resurrection and the life. But today is, I am the good shepherd. And the whole idea behind this series is so that we would realize the all-sufficiency of God. And that we would have to kick against our own human nature, which wants to be sufficient in itself, and instead deny self and go to Christ for whatever we need. And today, really, I started this service with the idea of his voice, and he mentions that later on in this chapter. And the very first thing for all of us, when we have any kind of issue, any kind of problem, we need any kind of advice, we're out of our depth, whatever it might be, is always seek advice. And not least from the King of Kings, not least from the shepherd who leads us, who knows the way to go. But he gives a few more illustrations here about the kind of voice that he has in John 10. Let's read this verse 11 to 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And that's where we're going to end that part. We'll go on. Can you activate the slides for us, Dave, so this actually works? There we go. The Good Shepherd. And in this passage, Jesus is highlighting and contrasting what a good shepherd is with a bad shepherd. And it's quite a tense moment because the people that Jesus thinks are the bad shepherds are the ones who are listening to him speak this. And they're geographically as far as you are from me. So it's quite confrontational for Jesus to say, I'm the good shepherd and you're the bad ones. But that's what he was speaking to the present religious leaders of the time. And so we just see this complete contrast of a hired person to look after the sheep and the actual owner of the sheep. And so to help us understand this passage, the sheep we're talking about is actually Israel. That's where Jesus was at the time. That's who he was speaking to, the people that God had chosen thousands of years beforehand to be his people and through which Jesus was going to come and bring salvation to the whole world. But in this little story here that Jesus is telling, the sheep are Israel. And the hired hands, they're the Pharisees, the historical Jewish leaders. Now, what Jesus says is nothing new. It gives them quite a hard time. But in truth, leaders of the Jewish nation have been bad right from the word go. So the very first king of the Israelites was Saul. He ended up having the kingdom of Israel taken away from him and ended up seeking the dead for guidance rather than the good shepherd. Solomon, the son of David, he had all the wisdom God could give him, and yet he ended up going after 700 wives. Don't ask me why. And in between those two was King David, and he is the epitome, the best king that Israel has ever had. And he's kind of messianic in a way, and yet he killed someone and committed adultery. But after that, there's loads and loads of bad kings. And it gets to a point, 600 years before Jesus was speaking these words, when the prophet Ezekiel is among the people of Israel, and they've had half of their kingdom taken away into exile as punishment. And God is giving them one last chance before he comes and takes the southern kingdom as well in all its entirety. In fact, some people from the southern kingdom have already gone into exile. And God is really giving a last call. And I just want to read you this passage. It's quite shocking, but this is a description. 600 years before Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and what a good shepherd should be like, he gives this description through the prophet Ezekiel of the shepherds of Israel at that time, the leaders of Israel. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves.'" That's where Jesus got this teaching from. They are hired owners. They only looked after themselves. They ran away when difficulty came. "Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." That's what people think today of politicians, don't they? Do you? "You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've had plenty of expensive scandals and brought back the brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." And this is God describing them being sent off into exile and beyond. They went into different countries. There's a sense of them being victimized here, and you can hear God's heart is really being stressed by this. He goes on, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because of my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but care for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from the tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." I think we might know a parable in the New Testament that describes that. Jesus got his teaching from Ezekiel. "As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep." He's saying that actually he's going to be the shepherd. He can't find a human shepherd that is good enough for his people, that is righteous enough, that is trustworthy enough. He's going to come and do it himself. "I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land." He's going to bring them back from Babylon and Assyria where they were. "There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel." This is a good shepherd, leading them to good pastures. Have you heard that before? I think Ezekiel got this from David. "I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays." We'll come to that later. "I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." Wow. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," the people he's saying it to will say, "Well, there's only one shepherd of the sheep. That's God. Are you saying you are God?" So Jesus is laying down the gauntlet to them and saying, "This is how you should be." Now, what really summarizes this is four phrases. Let me just give them to you quickly before we come to the end. In our passage, we see this phrase of the good shepherd. He lays his life down because he owns the sheep. But then Jesus contrasts it with the bad shepherds. They abandon the sheep because they care nothing. They only care for themselves. So when we think about the cross today, as we will in a minute, this is what we're really thinking about. If you can activate these slides, Dave, so they work. There we go. When we look at the cross, we look at a caring cross. The sacrificial lamb, he was saying, I am the good shepherd, I own the sheep, and the proof of that is, I will lay my life down for you. And that is the voice that we are listening to. We are listening to the voice of the one who shepherds us and lays his life down for us. The voice that you and I listen to in life is very, very important. I spent a number of years working at a local authority and working closely with community groups. One of the groups of people I used to work a little bit with was women who were experiencing domestic violence. And helping women to find out and listen to the right voice was a real tough issue. Which of the person that says I love you is the voice you should trust? And some women had to work out what that voice looks like, not just sounds like, but actually looks like. In reality, to see that with young people, done a lot of youth work, and you see young people being led astray primarily by their friends. Bad company corrupts good character, we see in Proverbs. They're listening to the wrong voice. The voice is saying the right things, but doing the wrong things. And you have to link the voice together with the actions. So when we hear a good shepherd saying, I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life, I don't abandon you. I face up to the issues I need to be faced up with. I deal with the wrath of God. I deal with your sin. I will not leave you astray. I'm not thinking of myself. That is the voice that we listen to. That is the voice of the good shepherd. Okay, well, it's 2 minutes to 3 o'clock. So if we now spend a few moments thinking about this ultimate act of caring, thinking about the Lord Jesus who lays his life down for you. Perhaps in these next few minutes you would personalize it and in your mind say to yourself, the Lord lays his life down for me. I hear his voice. Think of this ultimate act of caring. It's a question of ownership as well. He made you and he owns you, and he comes to find you and will bring you back. Let's bow our heads in silence. Lord, as we sung, this is the power of the cross, the power of your love. Thank you that you don't abandon us. Thank you that you lay your life down for us. you have defended us and saved us from the wrath of God. You have filled us with your Spirit. You have given us new life. Lord, we thank you that we can hear your voice. May we listen to the voice of sacrifice as long as we live. Amen. Amen. I know that 2 minutes isn't enough to think about the sacrifice of the cross, and we're going to think about that for eternity. But 2 minutes will start us off. It'll give us a little taste. Now, the second part of this passage, which Jesus talks about himself being the good shepherd, it's also a contrast. So if you want to go back to John chapter 10, we'll look at the second time Jesus says he is the good shepherd. Starts at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of his sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus says right at the beginning that we are known just as the shepherd knows his sheep. Do you know how well a shepherd knows his sheep? I know we saw that video and that was about the voice. But I found it fascinating to read stories about shepherds. And in one kind of world that I existed in for a day last week, I got into a world where shepherds on the internet talk to each other. It does really exist. And they were comparing, different shepherds around the world were sharing about how they recognize their own sheep. It's interesting language. Perhaps if you're not into shepherding, you might not get it. But I just had to kind of school myself in it. And this is fascinating. Some of them said they can hear by the tone of the cry who the sheep is. Some of you are parents, you'll think, yep, I can relate to that. I can remember a story my mum told me that when she gave birth to me, after the first 10 or 15 minutes of doing the weighing and cleaning me up and having a hug and everything, they took me off where all the other babies were. That's what they did at that time. They put you in the baby ward, and the mum had a separate time. And a few hours later, when mum had woken up, the nurse said, have you seen your baby yet? She said, no, not yet, not since waking up. And they said, well, we'll take you down to see him. And on the way down, she could hear all these different cries. And then apparently, in her words, there came a cry above all other cries. And she said, I knew that that was you, David. She had already heard the cry of me being a few seconds old and knew it a couple of hours later. And it's similar with these sheep. If the sheep is in trouble, they know which one it is. They know sometimes where their sheep like to graze. So depending on where the sheep go to graze, they know which sheep it is. I think that's a bit risky. Because I was thinking you should know your sheep by what they look like. But these shepherds are saying, no, I know what my sheep is. Because they're kind of saying, well, they all look alike. But I can tell by how they eat. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been with teenagers after they've not eaten for a day. Doing a bit of fasting and praying together. And they all eat in different styles. Some people will be so starving that they will just completely run over each other and just get straight in there and don't care about anybody else, in a loving way, of course. But others can still be extremely hungry and still be polite. You know people like that? They're really suffering themselves, but they'll just keep quiet. And then there are others who go, it's the end of the world. It's terrible, I'm suffering. And these shepherds know how their sheep eat. What their habits are. When they get to fresh pasture, they know the ones which are going to race off and the the ones which are going to take their time and find their place. Sometimes the shepherds recognise the different sheep by how they respond to predators. I thought this was extremely risky. But they were able to call the name of the sheep based on how they dealt with the predators. Some sheep try and stand up to the predators. Others hide behind other sheep. And the shepherd knew which ones would do that because they knew them. The shepherd also knew which was the oldest and which was the youngest. Now, if you've got a flock of 50, that would just narrow it down to 48. But straight away, you can count out the oldest and count out the youngest. And they know them. They know which ones are ill and well on a regular basis. Do you know people that are ill quite a lot or never seem to get a cold? Well, that's just how these shepherds knew their sheep too. And you think biblically, Jesus knew about the fact that he had lost one sheep. He had 100 in his sheep pen in the story that he told. And when he got down to 99, he thought, there's one missing, I've got to go and find him. So even the Lord himself identifies that and said, yes, I can pay attention to just the individual one. But then Jesus takes it up a whole nother level for us. He says, I don't just know my sheep the way a shepherd would know his sheep. I know my sheep the way my Father knows me. Now just think for a minute. How does the Father know Jesus? They are one. The Father knows Jesus like he knows himself. You know that phrase, I know this place like the back of my hand? The Father knows Jesus better than that. That's how Jesus knows you. That's how he knows me. There's an incredible level of intimacy going on here. Really, really detailed intimacy where we're close with God. What I'm loving at the moment, being up here sharing this word, is I'm seeing a great illustration of how well parents know their kids. And you guys know your kids very well. There's another dynamic which Jesus talks about. He says that I have other sheep that are not of this pen. Jesus is talking about the Jews that he has in his pen, but there's other sheep that are not here yet, and that's the Gentiles. That's you and me. The Gentiles is the Bible name for the rest of the world. We are the rest of the world. And Jesus says, ultimately, we're going to be united together. There's going to be one shepherd. And I want to read you these verses before we have a short time of prayer and worship. And it's the fulfillment of what Jesus says in this passage, that there'll be one and have one shepherd. Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And he says this, therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. So there was the Jews in the sheepfold, knowing Jesus, the good shepherd. And then we, the rest of the world, and those who weren't Jews, were outside. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with all its commandments and regulations. And then he goes on to say this incredible thing. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So through this cross, we're not only united to God, made one in Christ, but we're also made one with each other. And the illustration is two completely different cultures that didn't like each other. God actually made them one. And that is the beauty of being in the body of Christ. That's what we see. We've got multiple different cultures, multiple different outlooks and views on life. But the thing that unites us, that makes us one, is the Lord himself. Isn't that good? That's how close we can be. We can know the most intimate, most detailed thing about a person, which is their eternal destiny, where they're going, what they believe in, what they stand for. And that's how a friendship gets to be its deepest, when you know the most things about someone. And as Christians, we immediately, when we meet someone else who says, Jesus is my Lord, we immediately know the deepest, most intimate detail of their life, that they have at a certain point in their life bowed their knee and said, Lord Jesus, be Lord of my life. There's nothing greater than taking yourself off the throne of your own life and putting Jesus on it. And we know that moment. We share that moment with each other. And then finally, Jesus declares that he is God. He says that the Father has given him authority to lay down his life and to pick it up again. And what's incredible about this authority, even nowadays, we think about authority as a dirty word, a dangerous word. Whenever you use the word authority, it has to be clarified and qualified, because authority is something that's abused so much and ruined so much. And we finish exactly where we started in this message, that we can see what right authority is, what right use of authority is, in that it's used for others' benefit and not self. Jesus had authority to lay his life down and take it up again. And most people, when they have authority to do something, say they'll do it on their own terms when they want to do it. But they did it. God did it on our terms. We need God to save us. And he said, now is the time for me to use my authority in the right way and lay it down for you and for I. So what we see really is this. We see a cross that makes us close with God and close with each other. A caring cross and a close cross. That's why we know that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. That's why we know he's the one whose voice we need to listen to. Let's pray together. This prayer I've put together is based completely on the chapter of John 10. Thank you that you are the shepherd of our church. We pray for our upcoming Alpha course. May people enter the sheep pen by this gate. Thank you, Lord, the gatekeeper opens the gate for them. Those you call by name are listening for your voice during that 10-week course. May they become part of this sheep pen here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for leading our church out into the community through Mother and Toddlers Group, through Elderberries, through the CAP Debt Center, through Alpha, through Messy Church, through Healing on the Streets, Street Pastors, and our own individual witness. You are going ahead of us, and we're following you out because we know your voice. We're not going to follow a stranger's voice that seeks to control us and limit us to old religious ways. We're running away from that voice. Thank you for your truth in our postmodern, post-Christian world. You are the truth, and we enter into eternal life through you. Thank you for your certainty of faith. We haven't listened to the multi-faith voice that offers no eternal assurance, but we've entered through you and yours. You saved us. Pray for each church member that they will come in and go out and find pasture here in this church through you. You've come into our lives here that we may have life and have it to the full. You are the Good Shepherd, Lord. We pray for all the shepherds of your sheep up and down the length and breadth of this country. May our church leaders be sacrificial, laying their lives down for the flocks they care for in your name, not running away when things get difficult like a hired hand. We know, Lord, that you have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen yet. Help us to work with you and bring them in also. We pray for those who used to know you but have drifted. You know that one sheep, Lord. Thank you that you are searching for them again also. They too will listen to your voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. That's the cry of our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit we hear you as a church in our members' meetings. Help us put aside our own voices and our own self-representations and speak only your thoughts and desires. Thank you, we'll all recognize your voice and reject people's own voices. Help us follow you by faith, no matter the cost or size of the challenge. We know we'll never perish as we do that. And trust you that no one can snatch us out of your hand. People said.